Well, this morning I mentioned that we're going to have the message after the first hymn. So we're going to read from Acts chapter 15, and it's a small reading. It's verse 36 to 41. This is the passage that we're going to look at this evening. So I'll bring God's word to you. I'll preach what I feel is right to teach you this evening. And then after the second hymn, we'll have an opportunity to think a little more, a time of open discussion, reflection, before we have a third hymn and pray, and then close as usual with a fourth hymn. So it's a little bit different tonight, but I think sometimes it's good to have an opportunity to respond to God's word. There are different words used in the Bible for preaching, and one is didasko, and that means preaching, which is didactic, where there is a response, and there's very little opportunity for that in church life. And sometimes I think it's good to do that. Obviously, it's for edification. It's no good if we're just exchanging views and comments and we go around in circles and we think, what was all that about? We really want to edify and encourage one another. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take him with them, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Now, do you remember that the Church of Jesus Christ has come under a certain amount of pressure? Paul has been on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, and there they faced physical persecution to the point that Paul has been stoned and left for dead. The church has been under pressure. God raised Paul, he wasn't dead, but the Lord strengthened him and he continued his mission. There's been an attack from without. And then we've seen in the last two occasions, chapter 15, there's an attack from within. Satan wants to disturb the Church of Jesus Christ. He wants the church to be divided. He does not want the church to go forward. And he wants a division between the Jew and the Gentile. And so we have these people in verse 1, these Judaizers, and they come in, they infiltrate the Gentile churches, and they say to them, "Unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved, you cannot be a Christian." Now, thankfully, that situation was resolved by the council in Jerusalem. It was so important that they met together, and once and for all, the matter was settled. A person is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ. And a letter is sent to the Gentile churches. Paul and Barnabas, they take it with two of the leading men from the church in Jerusalem, Judas and Silas. But now we have another attack. It's a significant time. Paul realizes that having been now a year in the church at Antioch, their sending church, the church that sent them out on the mission, it's time to go back. And his plan and his desire is to go back to all the churches that they had planted in Galatia. He wasn't just an evangelist who did evangelism and just left people. Sometimes happens today, doesn't it? You have evangelists and they just do missions, but they never meet the people again. Paul wasn't like that. He planted churches, he prayed for them, and he went back to them. And his plan was to go back. He says in verse 36, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." But Barnabas, agreeing to this plan, wants to take John Mark with him. And we read here of a disagreement. It's not just a minor disagreement. In verse 39, it speaks about a contention. And a contention between him and Paul that is so sharp that they end up separating and going their different ways. Now, I've entitled the message this evening as this: When Good Men Disagree. If you think about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Never once has God disagreed within himself. And that's glorious, isn't it? The Son has never been opposed to the Father. The Spirit has never been opposed to the Son. And so we could go on. They live in perfect unity and in perfect agreement. But we as human beings, we are fallen. We cannot see things as God sees. We don't see the whole picture. And often we're skew-whiff in our thinking. We will address the question this evening, well, who was right? And you may come up with a conclusion, both were right. You may come up with a conclusion that nobody knows. Why is it even worth asking the question? But I'm going to tell you why I think it's worth asking the question this evening. What were the causes? Well, that's the real thing we need to get behind. What were the causes to this disagreement? But overall, we must see that God had a plan in it. And it didn't mean that the gospel of Jesus Christ was thwarted. Quite the opposite. The Lord overruled. There was one team of missionaries. But at the end of this chapter, we read that there are two teams of missionaries doing more work for the Lord. God has overruled. Now, if this was the first time that you read this passage, it may shock you. The very first time you've read this, if you're a believer, you'll grow to love Paul and Barnabas. You think, here are these men, they work in harmony. They suffer for the name of Christ. They're humble. Do you remember how initially it was Barnabas who went to get Paul? His name was then Saul. I got him to work with him. They'd been working together. Barnabas was quite happy for Paul to take the lead. And so when you come across this on the very first occasion, it is so unexpected. It's so out of the blue. And maybe it's baffling. But if you've been a Christian for a number of years, I don't think you're surprised any longer at such a passage like this. It's a sad fact. The good men may disagree. And very good men may disagree. And so in church life, we must learn not to be disappointed and not to be surprised when people we look up to and respect do not see eye to eye. It's a sad fact because it's human nature, but it mustn't knock us to one side and down. So let's consider this. Think of this. One of these men is an apostle. One isn't. One of the questions maybe you could ask this evening, should the man who wasn't an apostle have listened to the one who was an apostle? Did Paul have greater authority in this matter, in a planning of a situation and who should go in a matter of personnel? Or was the authority of apostle limited? That's a question we need to ask this evening. We should also think about what was the disagreement over. We're going to consider that it wasn't over doctrine. There's many things that it could have been over, but it was over a third person. It wasn't actually a disagreement between themselves in such, there's something wrong in you or in me, or you've hurt me, or you've affected. It wasn't that. It was over a third person and different views on that third person, John Mark. John Mark had been with them on that first missionary journey. He'd gone to Cyprus with them. Then he travelled on with them. Gone across the sea further. He'd gone to Pamphylia. But he left them. He went back. And the two of them had a different understanding of the implications of that event. I don't think it's possible to be 100% on the side of Barnabas. I don't think it's possible to be 100% on the side of Paul. You may have leanings. And the leanings that you have is probably to do with your temperament and probably to do with the experiences that you have passed through in your life, because that affects the way you interpret things. It's not easy to be impartial when you look at a passage. You need to look at some of the facts. Is the fact that the church sends out Paul and Silas and commends them to the grace of God, but it's not written here that the church in Antioch send out Mark, John, Mark and Barnabas significant. That's important to think through. So we're going to consider this tonight, and we're going to look at two things. So we're going to look at the factors that may have led to the division between them, and secondly, God's purpose in it all. Now, these are possible factors. I want to think first of all about personality. They were both very godly men. They've served the Lord, they risked their lives, they loved each other, they loved the Lord. They were absolutely dedicated to the cause of Jesus Christ. But as you read through the New Testament, you get a feeling of what sort of personalities they were, because the scriptures tell us an awful lot, and they seem to be different personalities. What was Barnabas like? Well, I believe he was very warm, empathetic, encouraging, giving, inclusive. Why do I say that? Well, right at the beginning, the first thing you read about him is this, that the apostles renamed him. He had a different name, Joseph. And they said, your name isn't going to be that anymore. We're calling you Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. That's what we see in you. That's what distinguishes you. You're such an encourager. You've sold a field and you've given the proceeds to the church. You're burdened for others. Barnabas had an open heart. We need those people in churches, don't we? Those warm, open, generous hearted people. We all have different gifts and different graces, and that was his gift. Do you remember when nobody believed in Paul when he was called Saul? They thought he was an imposter, an infiltrator in the church, and it was Barnabas who said, no, the Lord has saved him. Listen to his testimony. See what God has done in him. And because of Barnabas, they gave Paul the right hand of fellowship. He was somebody who was inclusive, who stood up for the weaker brother or the despised brother. Do you remember it was Barnabas who in the first place went to get Saul from Tarsus and to bring him all the way up to Antioch to help him in missionary work? We're told that Barnabas was a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. He was Christ-like. He was meek. He was humble. He was happy for Paul to take the leading role. So we have an impression of his personality. Now, his personality was shaped by grace. We don't just talk about people's temperaments and that's who they are. If they're a Christian, is their temperament and their personality shaped by grace and the work of the Holy Spirit? What was Paul? Does that mean Paul wasn't warm and empathetic? Well, if you read the whole of the New Testament, you'll realize that he was warm. He would say that he was like a nursing mother to some of the churches. He was tender. But he was also very strong and very principled. He was a clear leader. He would withstand people to their face, withstood Peter to his face. He would be strong against Elymas the sorcerer. He was a bold preacher, ready to be stoned. When he was imprisoned wrongly in Philippi, he would stand up to the authorities. He would say, I'm a Roman citizen, you shouldn't do this. So I ask the question, was the disagreement in any way a personality clash? I don't think it was, but I want to think a little bit about personality. I don't think you can boil it down to that. But I think you can say is this, Barnabas is inclusive. Here he is, he's seen John Mark. John Mark has failed in the past, but he thinks, well, this man, he needs to be given a second opportunity. He's gone with us. But he's gone back. I believe it's time now for him to come with us and to be involved in the work of the gospel. The apostle Paul, I believe, felt differently. Well, it's clear he felt differently. Maybe he thought in this way. He put his hand to the plow and he turned back. He's not mature enough yet. Later we find in the New Testament that he would say that John Mark is useful, but he's not ready yet. He's not up to it. He may just be a liability to us. And because Paul was a principled person and stuck to his guns, And Barnabas was a generous, open-hearted sort of person. Maybe their personalities affected the situation. That's something that we can discuss this evening. I think it's important for you to know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. It's important to know yourself. The Bible says, know yourself. And in knowing ourselves, we need to understand that our strengths can actually become at times weaknesses if our strengths are not used in the right proportion, at the right time, in the right way. For example, if you're that sort of principled person who sticks to your guns, the danger can be stubbornness, inflexibility, lack of care and understanding. Or if your strength is that you're empathetic, understanding, warm, tender-hearted, your danger is that you can become weak, soft, over-generous, naive. Now you need to have people who are, we ought to have both really, shouldn't we? Strength and generosity in our hearts. But we need to know ourselves, and if we lean one way, well, if you are strong and principled and a leader and stick to your, well, that's good. But remember not to become inflexible and unsympathetic. And if you are one of those people who fights for the underdog and is an encourager, comes alongside people, but also remember, you can't be soft. You can't just come alongside people and just say what they want to hear. God has given us all different gifts and graces, and we just have to be careful, don't we, that we're balanced in the way in which we live, and that's not easy for us. So that's the first thing. Was one of the factors that led to this division between them to do with personality? That's not the whole thing, but was it to do with personality? Secondly, we have to ask this question, but I think this is a very secondary matter. Had it anything to do with family connections? Why do I say that? Well, John Mark was Barnabas's cousin. Did that muddy the waters a little bit? Did that affect things a bit? We know that in church life, lamentably, sometimes family ties have influenced decision-making rather than biblical principles. Favours are shown, positions are gained, sin is ignored because of family connections. Now, can we say this of this situation, that here is John Mark, he's favoritizing his cousin? Well, I think that would be very hard to say that. Sorry, here's Barnabas favoritizing his cousin John Mark. I think that would be very hard to say that to Barnabas. And perhaps we should say, well, if he is his cousin, he knows him better than anybody else, and maybe he should have been listened to more. But we always have to ask that question when relatives are involved. Now, the Lord loves to use relatives. These 12 disciples, we have brothers, James and John, together serving the Lord, Andrew and Peter. Nothing wrong with having several families in one church. But always we need to act according to biblical principles. But then thirdly, and this is a big thing, maybe it's to do with the readiness to serve. What Paul thinks about John Mark's readiness to serve and what Barnabas thinks about his readiness to serve. Maybe Paul thinks in this way. Rather than being such a hard principled person, he's actually thinking, I'm concerned that John Mark will suffer. I don't think he's up to it. We've been stoned, we've gone through the mill. I just don't think it's an act of love that he's saying that he doesn't want him to come. Maybe that was it. He's just not ready. John Mark's failure wasn't a moral one, but it was on the level of desertion. And could it be that Paul is hurt? I'm not so sure on this one, but could it be? He hasn't shown loyalty. That happens. I'm bringing out these scenarios because these are the things that happen in church life. People get hurt. They feel that somebody hasn't been loyal in the past. And because they haven't been loyal in the past, that affects the present. Could it be that Paul felt that there was a great disloyalty and a hurt, that deserting of him when they needed him? And so he says he's just not ready to be involved in the mission work with us. Would Paul have had bitterness in his heart towards John Mark? Well, again, I think we're on very dodgy ground if we think that way. You see, we as Christians are not to judge the motives of others. So when we're reading this and we think through scenarios, we've got to be careful, because the scenarios we think through can reflect on how we might think about others in real life. And the Lord has always says, judge not lest you be judged. But what about Barnabas? Why did he feel that John Mark was ready? Perhaps he thought in this way, well, you know, Paul, I don't know why you're making such a fuss about all this. He was just our assistant. It wasn't like he was preaching the gospel with us. And he's just going to assist us again. I can't understand why you're being so stubborn over this situation. Maybe he said this to Paul, well, remember Simon Peter. Do you remember how he denied the Lord Jesus? And just after 40 days, he was reinstated to preaching. Can't you see it, Paul? 40 days after that denial and he's preaching and you're not letting John Mark go with us? Maybe it was sight. Things from the Old Testament where people have been restored. Now again, what we're doing is we're conjecturing this evening, aren't we? But I think it's important because it helps us to think about how we think about things. And so often we think that we've got a solution. We can understand it. A, B, C, it's as simple as that. But life is complex. And we look on situations where there are disagreements or people take different decisions that we don't agree in church life, and immediately we come down on one side or the other or can't understand it. And often it's that we fail to understand people, fail to talk it through, and fail to understand facts. Well, Paul clearly had no bitterness towards John Mark. He loved him. He didn't want harm to come to him. Later, he would write in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, bring John Mark. He's useful to me. I need him. What's lovely, though, is this, is that though the contention is sharp and they part, it doesn't seem to have affected the church. There's no division in the church. These two men will not allow this to go on. It's a sharp contention between them, but they will not let that contention to go amongst the church. So the church goes into two camps. I'm for Paul and I'm for Barnabas. And that's often what happens in churches, isn't it? When there's differences between people, people go behind the certain person that they like. Well, it's lovely that that doesn't happen. So then what are some of the possible factors to this division? I've said personality. I've said, could it be family? I've said, could it be the different views as to when a person is ready again to serve in this public way? I believe that third one is probably the biggest one. What does it teach us? It teaches us, this passage, that we're all fallible sinners. And we should never put anybody upon a pedestal. And I think this is, for, in some ways, our encouragement. Because it's saying that this is part and parcel of church life. Part and parcel of being fallen human beings. And we shouldn't be overwhelmed by this, but we should see over and above the result, what God intended through this situation. And that's what I want to close on this evening. God's purpose in it all. Just as in the story of Joseph, God overruled the division amongst well, due to the action of Joseph's brothers, that divisive act of them. He overruled. Yes, Joseph suffered. There was a parting between Joseph and his brothers, but the Lord overruled, and he used the situation to preserve God's people in Egypt. So the Lord overrules here. Barnabas, he takes John Mark, and they go to Cyprus. You'll read other references in the New Testament. And Paul is thankful for Barnabas. It's not that they're going off in disobedience. No, it's a new missionary team. We don't read that the church gets behind them and sends them, but even so they go. Sometimes that happens in church life. I'm sure what happened, and I don't know what on earth it was, is public knowledge, but people split from the Heath and they started Highfields. I don't know what it was all about. I'm sure it was very sad. But see what the Lord intended. Highfields now has 800 people. The Heath has several hundred people. It was sad that that split happened, but God overruled it for good. Now, that doesn't sanction splits, but it does say that God is able to overrule. And sometimes, separation is better rather than people continuing at loggerheads. Sometimes that's the solution. We do read that, verse 38, Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who departed. It was something that Paul felt passionately about. Spurgeon says this. He says, Paul was right and Barnabas were right. It's interesting. We'll consider that tonight. I'll give you the reason why he feels both were right. But the Lord was going to overrule for good. Now, the church here, they commend Paul and Silas to the grace of God. And what do? They go off to Syria. Cilicia strengthen the churches. And then we come down to verse 6 of chapter 16, and we find that they are in the region of Galatia. Do you remember that was Paul's original plan? He wanted to go with Barnabas. He said in verse 36, let's go back to the brethren in every city where we planted churches. Was that plan thwarted? No. But God never intended for John Mark to go in his providence. He intended that it should be Silas and that it should be a wider ministry. Why Silas? Silas was a Roman citizen. Silas was a Jewish man. Silas was a leader of one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, one of the leading men. And they were going to go right throughout the Roman Empire. And it'd be very useful that he was a Roman. When he was in prison, Silas with Paul, it was useful that Paul could say, we're Roman citizens. You can't just do this to us. And it was useful that he was a Jew when they go to synagogue first. God had purposes in this. You might think this. I wonder whether, after all, Paul was wanting Silas to come on the team. But he didn't say anything. And when John Mark just mentioned Barnabas, well, his plan had been thwarted. Well, again, that's sheer conjecture, isn't it? But we know how that's often how things work. And we think, what is a person doing? How are they thinking? But the thing is, we always as Christians need to say, God will work out his plan. Some have said this, because providence allowed Paul to go back to Silas and Silas to go back to the Galatian churches. It was God's clear plan that John Mark shouldn't be involved in mission work. I would say quite the opposite. I would say providence also teaches that John Mark is to be involved in mission work because he goes to Cyprus. And why does he go to Cyprus? That's where Barnabas is from. And that's just the right spot of ministry for them. You see, God puts his people in just the right place at just the right time. I was listening to somebody say this, and it's an interesting thought. He said this. God uses different ministers and different preachers and different ministries and ways because certain people are blessed in certain ways under certain teachers. And he has different ways of ministry to some and different ways of ministering to others. It's an interesting thought. But what we can say is this: God had a purpose. Originally, one team, now two, and the gospel is still marching forward. Well, I'm going to pray very briefly. We're going to sing a second hymn, then we're going to have an opportunity to respond. And I've got a couple of questions for you this evening. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening, and we pray, O Lord, that we might be helped as we consider your word this evening. We pray that we would realize that the church belongs to you, and no matter what difficulties and conflicts and differences of views come about, we thank you that the church is yours, and you will further the church and your purposes for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.